It feels like something of a letdown, don't you think? On the fifth day of Christmas, to hear Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be consoled because they are no more. The weeks and months following the birth of Jesus were not the best of days for the Holy Family. Herod was king at the time, and that was enough to make everyone's life miserable. Herod was not a very nice man. He was mean, scheming, heartless, arrogant, paranoid, vengeful. Well, you get the idea. He was so insanely jealous, and he was a pig-headed sort of a man who could not stand anyone getting in his way. He murdered his own wife, for crying out loud, and his mother-in-law, and three of his own sons, and who knows how many more. Herod was a mean man. And so when some curious wise men stopped by to say that they were following up on a report that somewhere near the little town of Bethlehem, sometime in the last year or so, a child had been born to be king of the Jews. That was enough to get Herod all rattled and worked up, and he was infuriated that someone might be out to take over his throne. And so with typical jealousy and meanness, he ordered that every child 2 years old and younger in and around Bethlehem to be murdered. Joseph and Mary and the infant Jesus fled into Egypt. Well, back there in Bethlehem, all day long and all through the night, Herod's people were pounding on doors, breaking into homes for every young child they could lay their hands on. It must have been a terrible time. When St. Matthew wrote about it, he couldn't help but think of the words from the prophet Jeremiah. A voice is heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be consoled because they are no more. Now let's push the pause button here for a little Bible history. Ramah was a place, a town, north of Jerusalem. Jacob's wife, Rachel, was buried there. We learn that little bit of information in the book of 1 Samuel. The prophet Jeremiah pictured Rachel weeping from her grave as her descendants, the children of Israel, were marched off to exile and slavery in Babylon. And now, hundreds of years later, Matthew pictures not only the mothers and fathers of the children of Bethlehem weeping, but Rachel weeping from her grave as she sees the slaughter at Bethlehem. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be consoled. The thing is, to this very day, Rachel's spirit must still be weeping. Rachel's spirit is weeping for the children of places like Sandy Hook and Parkland down in Florida. And the list keeps getting longer and longer and longer. Children murdered by senseless gun violence here in America. God help us. Rachel's spirit must still be weeping for children living in poverty and hunger and homelessness, children living in abusive homes and children living in war-torn countries all around the globe. God help us. Rachel weeping for her children. Rachel's spirit must be weeping for innocent immigrant children at the southern border of America. Rachel weeping for her children. It is something of a letdown, is it not? On the fifth day of Christmas, to hear Rachel weeping for her children. You know, there's a mantle of merriment that's over so much of our Christmas. I love it. So do you. Family, friends, and loved ones getting together. The Christmas tree and the colorful ribbons, the candles and the carols, all of it and a whole lot more go into making Christmas that most wonderful time of year. But Mother Church will not let us leave Christmas without remembering, as they say, the reason for the season and looking at the whole story. Mary and Joseph, the curious shepherds and singing angels, and of course the baby Jesus lying in a manger. But look closer, and what do we see? An oppressive government. Tired feet. No room at the inn. The power of jealousy. A murderer's knife. It was into a very real and sometimes chaotic and messy world that Christ was born. A world that is very much like the kind of world in which you and I live and move and have our being. The startling truth about Christmas is that God came among us not to give us a mantle of merriment under which to hide, but to be the one in whom all human suffering is gathered. He feels the pain of all the children of God. His heart is pierced by every bullet that is fired and every cruel word that is spoken. It is in the cries of human life that we best know of Christ. Captain Gerald Coffey of the U.S. Navy spent 7 years as a prisoner of war in North Vietnam. And he wrote about the experience in his book titled Beyond Survival, in which he recalls the Christmas of 1968. He remembers that Christmas in particular because it was the Christmas in which the North Vietnamese distributed some chocolate candy bars to the prisoners as sort of a Christmas gift. The candy bars were wrapped in a foil that was red on the outside and silver on the inside. And Captain Coffee said he took one of those foils and he flattened them out. And then he started folding it one way and then another. And finally it looked up shaped like something of a star. And he thought to himself, oh, it's the Bethlehem Star. And he pulled a loose thread from his shirt and tied it around the star and made it into a kind of ornament. And he pulled a piece of straw from a broom that was in the corner of his cell, and he stuck that piece of straw into a crack in the wall, and he hung the star to that piece of straw. And he sat there looking at it by the light of the lone yellow bulb that was burning in his cell, looking at that star, the Bethlehem Star. And he wrote, "There was nothing to distract me from the pure awesomeness of Christ's birth. No materialism, no commercialism, no presents or glitz. Just me and that baby Jesus. Everything by which I had measured my identity was denied. My rank, my title, my uniform, my money, my car. It was just me left. My flesh, my bones, my intellect, and my soul." And then he writes, "I realized that although I was hurting and afraid, that this might be the most significant Christmas of my life." It's amazing what Christmas does for us when we remember the whole story. That Christ came into every strand of ordinary human life. No area of life escapes him. We discover him best in the encounter of our lives with his. It is as the preacher wrote to the Hebrews in today's second reading, because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. I hope you are having a wonderful and meaningful Christmas. And I pray that the love that has been revealed to us will be with you and strengthen you through all the coming year. Amen.